Here's some breaking news for you I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens have signed Brendan Gallagher to a six-year extension, a deal with an average annual value of $6.5 million, which I think is a great deal for both sides. And I was saying this yesterday. If Josh Anderson gets 5.5, Gallagher has to get more. Has to.
Well, he's a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah, and he's been there longer. He's the heart and soul of the team. I think he's a better player. You know, different players, but still, I mean, this is quite the story. Now the Habs, how much money do they have and how much term do they have locked up on the right side? It's pretty substantial. Here's our TSN Hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Where did this one come from, Dregs?
I'm chuckling because we have an insider group chat on Frank Cervelli. Just sent it into the group chat like 2 minutes ago. I wish I could tell you I knew where it came from, because in conversation with Jerry Johansson, who represents Brendan Gallagher, yesterday, it was clear that they weren't that close, that, you know, they weren't that far off in money either, but just the rigidity of Marc Bergevin and how the structure of that contract needed to look like, and the fact that progressive talk then shifted to, no, this is how it needs to be done, or it's not going to get done, after they signed Anderson and Toffoli, led the Gallagher camp to believe that this was going to be a battle, or it wasn't going to be a battle, because Brendan could have taken the opposite approach and said, hey, do whatever you want, but I'm going into the final year of my contract, and there's going to be a point in the very near future where I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not suggesting that that's what happened. Could have been the backlash too, right? Like, Bergevin is one of those GMs who says that he doesn't pay attention to the media, but there was considerable backlash after that news broke yesterday that the talks had stalled. And obviously, you know, the agent and the player wanted that information out there, and it might have worked enough that Bergevin either reconsidered, ownership of Montreal reconsidered. Either way, end of it all, it was hard to envision the Montreal Canadiens without Brendan Gallagher. But that was the reality of the situation 24 hours ago. So, clear case of how things can change pretty quickly.
No kidding. I mean, that,
I agree.
I'm trying to do the math on the fly here, but I think it's about, what is it, $16.5 million they'd be locked in, 17. I'm trying to do it quickly on the fly.
Well, Anderson, 5.5, 6.5 with
Gallagher. That's 12.
And then Toffoli is 4.4
or 4.5. I think. So that's 16.5 locked up over term on the right side.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
well, you
can do
that type. You can do that type of stuff when you have entry-level contracts down the middle, two of them.
But what about Vegas, though? Like, if those three are locked in, is, I don't know if Suzuki and Kotkaniemi have to be protected or not, or if they're exempt. I'm not sure.
Oh, from Seattle?
No, yeah,
they'd be,
Seattle.
Be exempt.
They'd be exempt. But
okay.
You know what? You worry about Seattle, of course, and that's a big part of the decision-making of every general manager. But beyond that, I think GMs are starting to realize that you either go all in when it's the right time to do it and stop worrying about the long-term future or developmental health of the organization, or you're going to be on the sidelines and you're not going to have to worry about it, right? And I'm not saying that that was the case and what motivated Marc Bergevin here, but you're running out of real estate with Shea Weber and with Carey Price and some of the other elements. And I give full credit to Bergevin and ownership of the Montreal Canadiens for going, we got a taste of a crazy playoff environment in the return to play, but we liked it. And maybe we're not that far away. So let's just put our chips on the table here and get after it. I think that he has done as good a work as any other general manager across the board. And look, I include Kelly McCrimmon, who's ruthless in his process in getting Alex Pietrangelo, the top player available in unrestricted free agency, signed up. But Marc Bergevin put his hands on every position in the organization in Montreal and added some very key pieces and kept one enormous one, of course, in Brendan Gallagher. So this was solid work.
Yeah, I still look at the middle of the ice, and I wonder when that, you know, I know that they like Danault. Danault is one of the more undervalued, under appreciated players in the league. He's a really good player. I'm assuming they think Suzuki will be the man up the middle of the ice. Kaki Niemi will take another step. But, you know, those are two young guys you're banking on. So you're loaded on the wings, more or less.
Yeah.
But you better make sure those guys hit up the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Or that'll be the pursuit.
And they got the Evans kid, too, coming. Like, and Paling. Like, they've got, now the problem is development, right? Like, if Suzuki takes another step, you're hoping that Kotkaniemi takes another step. Deno is a really good, serviceable player, whether he plays in the two-hole or the three-hole. But it's the wings that are going to drive those lines. And I think Suzuki's, you know, I think his ceiling hasn't been reached yet.
No.
Like he's a really good player. It'd be interesting to see what he becomes. That's the one thing. Like, I think he's got the ability to be a really, really good player.
Is he a star? Is he a superstar? Is he just very good?
He's just a very good player. Yeah. Right. That's the, you know, that's yet to be determined, correct? So,
lofty praise for that kid. Some comparisons to the potential of Patrice Bergeron. I mean, go down the list. I like that because it gives you something to look forward to, but he's got to get there. And it's not going to be easy to get there, but we've seen enough to know that he's going to be a very good player.
Dregs, I wanted to ask you about some of the RFAs. It doesn't seem like they've been talked about as much. What do you think is going to happen with some of these guys like Barzal, Sorelli, Sergachev? Like, obviously, Tampa's situation's unique. You've got Dubois. Do you think it's going to take some time for those to get sorted out?
It could. It feels like what's likely is short terms on these restricted free agents. You know, I don't know how Tampa Bay locks in to another long-term deal. Maybe Julien Brisebois can get it figured out, but he's just wrestling with, trying to, find trade partners for players like Tyler Johnson. Go down the list of all the players that could be in play in Tampa Bay. But if, we talk about offer sheets on an annual basis, and maybe it's not fitting to talk about them now, given the financial strife that the league is in during COVID-19. But if you're ever going to take advantage of a team against the cap, it's now, right? Like, Sergachev automatically would make every team in the league better on the back end. He just would. So I don't know if there's a gentleman's agreement that the owners have agreed to here, but the fact that we haven't seen one yet on a player is a little surprising to me.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. I've had my qualms with Bill Foley, the owner down in Vegas. And
Hayes thinks he's a hero for that
the intro.
For the helicopter shot. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Hayes, paint the picture.
It's ludicrous, right? He's on the helicopter. He goes out. He finds some, like, sword. And he's like, we're bringing it back to the ring. It's like, get real, dude. The game's about to start. Can you move? Like, get out of the way. But now I'm a big fan of Bill Foley's because he did a radio show in Vegas, and he's like, there's going to be a Canadian division this year, and who knows when we're going to play. And, there have been whispers of all these kind of stories and different options and with the border being closed and COVID-19 lurking. But how do you respond to that? What have you heard about that, the idea of an all-Canadian division next season?
Well, he didn't wake up this morning and think of that. He's obviously had conversations. I know that nothing is etched in stone at this point. It can't be. There's a negotiation that is about to hit full steam between the Players Association and the National Hockey League that is going to govern what 2020-21 start is going to look like. Do owners often speak with a commissioner and offer their input, their opinion, and is there, shared ideas? Yeah, absolutely there is. And that would be among them. The border still isn't open between Canada and the United States. And, I'm not a political whiz here, but it doesn't sound or seem likely that that's going to happen anytime soon with the COVID numbers that we're seeing here and you're seeing south of the border. But if the National Hockey League is to start in January, as the commissioner expects that it will, and they're hoping to play 82 games, I think you have to get creative in what scenarios might need to be employed to make that a reality. And one of those has been the idea of a Canadian conference or a Canadian division. I don't know where I'm at with it. I guess hockey some hockey is better than no hockey at all. But as much as we celebrated return to play and the fact that they played four seven-game rounds and the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs was kept in check, I don't know how I feel about separating the league because of a pandemic. I mean, you have to. I mean, from a health perspective, again, maybe having hockey played is better than no hockey at all. But if you want to start applying asterisks, how do you do that when, you know, you've got seven teams playing against each other and then the rest of the league doing whatever they're trying to do to play against each other in the United States? So it's complex, but that theory has been tossed around. It just hasn't been decided on as far as we know.
I hope it happens. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. I would like to see it, you know, on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd just be fascinating to have an all-Canadian division. It's not logistically possible, but, you know, there's such parity up here. We always talk about parity throughout the league.
Yeah.
I think outside of Ottawa, man, I don't know how I would handicap 1 through 6. I know who would be 7th. I think Ottawa would certainly be the last place team in the division. But beyond that, Dregs, I don't know. And I think that's what would make it so great, right? There isn't one or two great teams up here.
And I think there's a feeling, and maybe they feel the same in the United States, that you could keep it fairly sanitized and really healthy, right? If you fly into Montreal or Montreal flies to Toronto, whatever the scenario is, and you get on a bus and you go direct to the hotel and you play, you know, 2 games in Toronto and then 2 back in Montreal, whatever the sequence is, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, players kind of have to approach the same sort of thing that they did inside the bubble, even though they wouldn't be inside the bubble. Like, you know, you can't go to Hives or, you know, Harbor 64 or whatever. I mean, you just can't do any of that. You know, there's probably a way to keep it as safe as it's going to likely need to be. So, like I said earlier, fellas, I wasn't surprised when I saw the tweet that it had been said. I was surprised that it was an NHL owner who said it, because we've definitely heard the speculation around that type of idea.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Go ahead, Noodles.
I was just going to say, all I know is if there's a Canadian division, Hayes will be happy is because every game will start at 7 o'clock.
They'll work
around the Leafs and the Eastern TV schedule.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's such a great point.
It's so gutless.
They're out in the West for 3 weeks straight playing at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I can't wait. It's such a good point. With Joe Thornton potentially too, right, Dregs? I mean, where are we at with the Joe Thornton watch and the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I've always been a Joe Thornton fan. I mean, how can you not be? I mean, he's just been a hell of a hockey player, a character, and beloved, you know, prior to his long time in San Jose. It was Boston, of course. The only thing that I would wonder, if he goes back to San Jose, it makes sense, right? He's got a home there. That's his home. That's just where everyone is accustomed to seeing Joe Thornton. I would wonder, from Toronto's perspective, how is he helping you at 41 and a half years of age? And, you know, again, I'm not trying to belittle Joe Thornton's career here, because it was magnificent. And for so many years, he was a star. But if you're putting Joe Thornton in your lineup, who's coming out? And what would bother me more is if he's not as great as you want him to be as a fan base, and then Sheldon Keefe is stuck in the weeds and he's got to make a tough call, like he's got to scratch Joe for this game or that game or consecutive games. I don't know. He's a physical specimen. Don't get me wrong. I just we got to be careful not to fall in love with what once was.
Yeah. Oh, I don't dispute that at all. You know, I've been saying that the past couple of days. I don't think it makes a ton of sense at all, but it would be very interesting. And I think there's obviously truth that the Leafs are more than just kicking tires. You know, if the head coach is calling them, they're trying to put on some sort of a press.
And Dregs, we brought up you know, the intangible conversation. I know sometimes people get frustrated with that, but you know, my only, I guess, positive slant could be on Thornton signing is what he could bring to the core. This is a guy who has seen it all, done it all at the National Hockey League level, and instantly commands respect in the room. And Patrick Marleau was the same player, that type of seen it all, done it all, but he's not a vocal guy. And where Joe Thornton, where I think Joe Thornton would be invaluable is his voice. Like, he wouldn't be shy to tell Austin, you know, hey, you know what? Quit worrying about the suits. Play hockey. Quit worrying about the hats. Yeah. You know, like I'm, you know what I mean. I'm not taking a shot at Austin.
Do.
I'm not.
I just
feel like his no filter type of approach might be something that that room needs. Where you've got John Tavares, who's a leader by example. Morgan Rielly, you know, these guys. It's acquired a room. You might need a boisterous presence to kind of drag it out of people.
I hear you, but as you say that, Noodles, I'm reminded of Milan Lucic in Edmonton.
Right.
And Lucic went into Edmonton feeling like he could be that same presence, you know, a younger guy. I just don't think that the younger player looks at the older player with that same sort of awe or, oh, tell us this story. You know, when you did that or when your team, when you were on that team, what was it like? What was it like playing with that guy?
Right.
I hear you, and that storybook stuff, and I hope it still exists. I'm just not so sure it does. And if he walks into that room, now we're talking about the Leafs, but it could be any room, and he tries to be that guy, and they look at him and go, what are you talking about? Just buzz off. Then what?
Yeah.
Then what are you left with? You know?
That's fair.
I hear you, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later. I mean, there's still a lot of really good players out there, right?
A lot.
Like Hoffman's out there, Dadonov's out there.
Yeah.
Howell is out there.
Sammy Vatanen,
Corey Perry. Yeah. Like, there's some really, and there's not that much money left around the league.
I'll tell you, some of the offers that these players are getting, and most of us have been respectful and not disclosing team identity or player identity. There are $4 million players getting one-year offers at less than $1 million right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, squeezes on.
Yeah, and that's it, right? And to bring it back to the Leafs, but this could apply to any other team, like why jump in the pool with a guy you're uncertain of?
Yeah.
There might be a really good player in his prime still there in 2 weeks that will take the $1 million deal.
You're not wrong.
They got to be careful. All right, Dregs, thank you for this.
Hey, boys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, money. It's a money squeeze everywhere. Like, So
I would think that a guy, I know we got to go. I would think that a guy like Mike Hoffman might do the Taylor Hall. Like, give me, you know, 1 year at $5-6 million. I can score for you, but I'm going to see what the marketplace looks like after this season.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to do that.
What is Florida doing? Like, if Hoffman and Dadonov are going to leave, where have they been spending money? Am I missing something?
No. I think Billy Zito's marching orders was that you need to cut some payroll there, my understanding.
I guess,
So you can't be giving Mike Hoffman $6 million. You can't be, you know, giving Dadonov the same type of thing, $5 million. There's $10 million right there that you probably, if you had, that's probably an internal cap situation there, not spending to the cap. That would be... Probably
that's what
it
feels like. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But those are two good players that
were
on, you know, two of their top lines. Those are six top six guys.
They're
going to walk out the building, more than likely.